Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Tonight we pick it up at verse number 17. But beloved, I like that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad that the beloved is made plain in the scriptures. Who are the beloved? Do you have any idea? Let me just ask you this. What makes us beloved? We're beloved because He loved us. Not because we love each other, but because He loved us. And Jude recognizes that and said, but beloved, you whom God loves.
Yes.
Glory. Now we get strung out a lot of time and miss the truth of the Word of God and say that God loves everything and everybody. I think you need to read this Bible. Might be good to do that. I tell you, let me just give you a couple of verses. Psalm chapter 5, verse 5. Read it one day when you get a chance. Psalm chapter number 11, verse 5. Read it sometime when you get a chance and see if God loves everybody. It might change your tenor a little bit. So, beloved, we whom God loves. Let's clarify this thing a bit further. Let me just draw the line right quick. And this is not even part of what I meant to say. So let me draw the line real thin so you'll understand it. This, by the way, is not an Obama line. This one's real. But, beloved. Now, if he is addressing the beloved, then there must be some that are not so. Is that right or is that right? But, beloved, remember. Another good word. Remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These two verses further describe those that are apostates. Now let's identify these people once again. Now there are 25 or 26 distinct descriptions of the apostate in this little book. The apostate is one who has made a professional belief. Now, I didn't say profession, I said professional. You understand that? The world is full of professional Christians, but there are not as many possessing Christians. There are far more hypocrites than there are true believers. And we often fail to realize that. We should never be surprised when what God says comes to pass. We ought never sit and wonder and wring our hands and say, well, how can this happen? How in the world can this be in my time? God said it was going to happen, it's going to happen. No matter whose time it is, it's going to take place. So there's no need for us to wring our hands and wonder why. God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. But beloved, we whom God loves, but beloved, remember. Now we're going to pick up this thought here at this point and I want you to notice the directive of what he has to say in this passage. Remember, call to mind things that you've been told. Simon Peter said, I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We remember what God has done for us. When we begin to remember what God did for us, then surely, surely, something happens within us. Joy begins to, rather than avoid us, it begins to erupt within us. When I begin to think of what the Lord has done for me personally, and I begin to just share those things with me. Do you ever do that? Do you ever begin to remember what God's done for you and just share it with yourself? If you can't share it with yourself, you'll never be able to share it with anyone else. So share it with yourself. Tell yourself about it. And once you've told yourself about it, then you'll begin to understand some things maybe that you never understood before. You've heard your own voice speak what God has done for you. It's good to remember that God saved us. It's good to remember the occasion. Now, I don't make a whole lot of the date and so on, but I think you should never forget the occasion. Never forget the act, that moment when God births you into the household of faith. Once that happens, then you can begin to recall how the process by which He brought you becomes a reality. You remember how God began to deal with your heart, how He began to turn your mind, how He began to do some things for your eyes and cause you to see things you never saw before. Your ears begin to hear things you never heard before. You see, He takes away our blindness, takes away our deafness, takes a stony heart and places a heart of flesh, a pliable heart within us. And in doing so, now we can hear, now we can see, now we can feel the things of God. And God births us into His family. Now, just because God's done something with your eyes doesn't mean you're born again. Because He's done something with your ears doesn't mean you're born again. And because your heart becomes pliable and you can feel the presence of God doesn't mean you're born again. But these are avenues that God uses to bring you to the birth. I often hear preachers using the term regeneration and the new birth as one and the same. They are not one and the same. Never have been. Remember, things that are different are not the same. Regeneration is that God does to bring you to salvation. It is the act of the Holy Spirit literally wrapping you in the womb of God. You see, you're going to be birthed. When God begins the process of regeneration, it means you're going to be a child of God. Somewhere out there, it's going to happen. Now, you don't know it yet. You're still fighting against it. But God's letting you see some things you never saw before. God's letting you hear some things you never heard before. God's letting you feel some things you never felt before. And then all of a sudden, God convicts you of sin and births you into His household. You see, there is a time of embryonic growth in our lives. Is that right? Every one of us was an embryo at one time or another. And may I say to you that all of us who are born again were embryos in the womb of God before He birthed us into His household. God claimed you long before you knew it. Your name was in the book long before you read it. God was rejoicing over you before you ever knew what was going on. Let's go a bit further with this. You who have birthed children into the world, how many of you were guilty of rejoicing over the birth of that child before it ever happened? Hallelujah. Glory. I mean, grandmas and grandpas rejoiced. Mom and daddy rejoiced. Brothers and sisters, but the family rejoices, right? Friends rejoice before it ever happened. Did you get the point? Heaven rejoices long before you ever come into the household because they know what's about to take place. They know a birth is on the way. Beloved, remember. Remember what God has done for you. Call to mind the things that have already been said to you, where you have already been warned of the apostates. Let me park a minute. Right here in this assembly tonight, and assemblies all over this country who will meet tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is this need that we be reminded that God will continue His church in spite of all of the conflicts and in spite of all of the false prophets, in spite of all of the apostates in spite of all the hypocrites, in spite of all the failures of his people, God will continue his church until he takes it out of here. And then they'll go to looking for us and we won't be here. Remember the directive. Then the deliveries are before us. The words. Remember words. Remember truth. Truth can only be discovered. Truth cannot be invented. Truth has always been. It isn't just freshly birthed. It may be freshly discovered, but it's always been so. The sun rises in the morning, as we refer to it, and it sets in the evening. That's truth. You didn't discover that until you had a few years on you. You enjoyed the sun, but you didn't discover that it appeared in the morning and disappeared in the evening. The truth was always there, but you finally discovered it. Do you realize that gravity has always been with us? But are you aware that it wasn't discovered until relatively recently? Oh, it's always been. Your apples always fell down. Things that were thrown into the air always came back down. Men jumped and always came back down to the ground. A fact, a truth. Magnetism has always been with us. It's always been there. Those lines of flux have always left the south and gone into the North Pole. Compasses are a relatively new invention. All of the truths were there, but they're recently discovered. We only discover truth. God's words are true. We discover truth in the Word of God. It's always been there, but you read it one day and like a bolt of lightning, it comes into your heart and into your mind and you realize, hey, look at this. Look at this truth. I found something nobody else knows about. No, you didn't. I preached a message one day and I thought, boy, I've never heard anybody say this before. I didn't get this from a commentary. I got this from God, and nobody else has dealt with this thought just like this. About 8 weeks later, it appeared in the Sword of the Lord. Somebody else had preached the same message years ago. Almost the same thing. And I thought I'd discovered something. You think you've discovered something when you flip a light switch on and lo and behold. Do you know, honestly, before God, I can remember the first light switch I turned on. Oh yeah, I remember the days that Mom would sit me on the couch in the evening with some newspapers and the lamp globes. And I'd go to wiping the soot out of the lamp globes before nightfall. And come nightfall, we'd light the lamps, and that's the light that we had. Yeah, you see, I grew up deprived of a lot of things. But I remember the first light switch I turned on, just a boy, just a lad. But I remember walking to the wall and flipping that light switch, just one single bulb. No chandeliers, no elongated lights like these fluorescent lights tonight. No, just one light bulb. And buddy, I thought it was as bright as noonday. Now that one little light in the living room, Gary, we'd think, boy, where's the light? Strike a match and see if it's burning. It was there all the time. Electricity has always been there, but recently discovered. Isn't that amazing? God's words are so. God's words are true. Words of warning, if you will. And let me just give you a few references. We'll turn to a few of these, if you will. Turn to 1 Timothy with me for just a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, there are a lot of things. This is not the only one here. But look at verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, watch the words, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. How about that? and doctrines of devils. Do you wonder why so many people are confused spiritually in this age? Don't wonder why. God told us it was going to happen. All about us, confusion reigns. Look at verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats. That'd identify the papal church real quick, wouldn't it? Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Let me tell you the truth. It's all right to eat sausage. Pork chops are not forbidden. Tenderloin is good for you. Oh! Let me remind you, we're talking about truth. We're not under law, we're under grace. And everything that was in that sheet, God said to Simon Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Now Simon Peter was a good Old Testament saint, and he said, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's common and are unclean. Now what did God say? He cleared his theology up real quick, didn't he? Mm-hmm. 2 Peter chapter 3, we've referred to these passages time and time again in our study here. In Simon Peter's second epistle, he describes for the most part what we're dealing with in these few verses in the book of Jude. This second epistle, I'm in chapter number 3. Beloved, I write unto you, in both I stir up your pure minds, what's that word now, by way of remembrance. I've already quoted that. That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Didn't that just reflect what we read to you from the book of Jude? Sounds almost synonymous. Knowing this first, that shall come in the last days, scoffers. Jude calls them mockers. It's the same word. Scoffers and mockers. Now what are these scoffers and mockers saying? Simon Peter identifies it even more so and says they're confused about the coming of the Lord. How about that? Do you know anyone that's confused about the coming of the Lord? Do you know that Paul wrote at least 3 letters to explain the coming of the Lord to the early church? Are you aware that the confusion reigned even in that day and time? Simon Peter said, they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But now watch this, Simon Peter says of this, they're ignorant. They're a part of that ignorant brethren church. The ignorant brethren, we've often said that that's the largest denomination in the world, the ignorant brethren, the first church of the ignorant brethren. That one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Where God's concerned, time means nothing. God is beyond time. Let me assure you that there are no clocks in heaven. There are no calendars in heaven. Clocks and calendars are for us. It's to discipline us. But God needs no discipline. So there are no time clocks and there are no calendars. God is beyond time. God is not constrained by time. God is not restrained by time. God made time. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God made time. But he made it for man. Didn't make it for himself, made it for man. Where God is, there is no night. He dwells in the ever-present light, the scripture declares. When we get to the heavenly Jerusalem, we'll find that there will be no night there. The gates are not closed, for there is no night there. And the light of that city is the Son of God Himself. Amen. Well, glory. One of these days, our sun that hangs yonder will nova, burn out, go away. I was reading an article a while back about the sun, and the scientists say that no worry about the sun because it has plenty of fuel to last for another million years. Well, may I assure you something? It's not going to last another million years. It's going to nova, go out, be gone. But the light will not go away. He is the light. And He being the light, then we will dwell where God dwells in the ever-present light. Well, hallelujah. That's worth shouting about if we never get anywhere else, isn't it? 1 Timothy 4:1, we've talked about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13, Paul said again, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't be surprised. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 15, Jesus speaks of false prophets clothing themselves like sheep, but inside they're ravening wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing in reality. We're warned. Can I say this to you? To be forewarned is to be forearmed. God help us not to wind up disarmed as believers. We're in this thing. We're in the throes of this very thing we're talking about right here. The very thing Jude is writing up. Remember, I said to you, this is the final exam. Right here before the book of the Revelation, where we go out of here, this is the final exam. And Jude is giving us these truths to show us they're present, they're among us, but they're not part of us. Never will be. Couldn't possibly be. Then there are those distinctives further on. For the ones, he said, that gives us these words are the apostles. Not just any, but the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying the apostles have given us some things. Now hear what they say. We've mentioned a few of them, but only a few. Now hear me tonight. Listen carefully. He makes this saying a distinctive thought. It is the apostles' words. Listen, these offshoots of Christianity, so to speak, that have listened to someone else, the Joseph Smith followers, the crowd that's causing so much conflict in the Middle East. It won't be the Middle East long. It'll be the West. Listening to Mohammed, Jude lays down the gauntlet and says, listen carefully to what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ have said. Not the thoughts of modern man, not things that come from the mouths of others. Christianity is not based on many writings. Christianity is based upon the writings that declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those who declare that He's something else aren't listening to what Jude has to say. We need to know that it's the words of the apostles that we're to hear. I want to make a statement. I've said this before, but I want you to get this in your head. The church is not revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The church is revealed to Paul. Paul said this mystery has been hid. And that mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That never happened in the Old Testament economy. Christ in you is a new thing. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not Judaism revamped. Thank God it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is not some old religion refried and sent out down the line. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Why would Christ want to live in me? I think we missed this so far. When Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth, there was no less God in heaven. When Jesus went back to heaven, there is no less God on earth, because He sent His Spirit to indwell the church. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives within us. The same Spirit that inhabited the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth inhabits our bodies tonight. What a treasure in earthen vessels. What a glory to realize that Christ lives in me. The depository. Watch what happens here. They told you. Do you see that? They told you. How do you learn? Someone told you. You say, well, no one told me. I studied it and found out myself. Who wrote it? Someone wrote it. You read it. You learned from it. Someone told you. You heard it. You learned from it. They told you. They told you thus and thus is so. Jesus told us. The apostles told us. These men of the Old Testament told us. They were inspired of God. They were carried on of the Holy Ghost as they wrote the words. The inspiration of the Word of God is under great attack today. One of the means of attacking it is the new renditions. Remember, I said they are not versions, they are renditions. And all of these renditions have an agenda. And the agenda is to discredit the truth of the Word of God. I wonder how one can believe, and I brought this subject up in seminary so many years ago, you can't even think about it. But I said, how in the world can we believe in the inspiration of the Word of God and not believe that the same God who inspired it can keep it safe and preserve it? If God is who He says He is, then is He incapable of preserving His Word? If He can inspire it, can He not preserve it? I say to you that He has preserved it. And we have it right here in this old King James Bible. Don't argue with me. I've argued with the best. Been down this road many a time. The fact is, God has given us a believable book, but it's only believable to those who are beloved. They told you. But He speaks of the deceivers, and He calls them mockers. They're emhektes, false teachers in reality, is the word. Mockers. Scoffers, Simon Peter calls them. Mockers, Jude calls them. Same word, false teachers. Teaching false things. Things that do not glorify the God of glory. Someone once asked me, Brother Larry, how can we really tell when somebody is not preaching the truth? I said, who does it glorify? Who does it point to? Do you know who false teachers point to? Just wait a minute. It'll show. The conversation, the teaching will somehow begin to magnify the false teacher. The preaching and the teaching of the Word of God will always magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. It will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me. It will not magnify God the Father. It will not magnify God the Spirit. It will magnify God the Son. I didn't say anything wrong. Don't look at me like I missed it somewhere. The preaching of this Bible Jesus Christ came into this world and magnified the Father. The Holy Spirit came into this world to magnify the Son. Paul said he will not speak of, or Jesus said he will not speak of himself. He will remind you of all things whatsoever I have done. I worship God the Father. I worship God the Son. I worship God the Holy Ghost. But the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God will magnify Christ first and foremost. If it magnifies or goes in another direction, you can begin to magnify God the Father and you'll go to seed. You can begin to magnify the Spirit of God and you'll go to seed. And off into all of these charismatic tours. Don't get caught up in magnifying anything other than the Lord Jesus. This book speaks of Him. Then there's the dispensation. When's all this going to happen? The last times. Did you get that? The last times. When's this happening? Right now. Right now. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe Jesus is coming? I mean, is it stamped on your mind indelibly? No one can take it away. You really believe Jesus is coming? You know who convinced you of that? The Word of God, God's Spirit, has convinced us that Jesus is coming. What's the next greatest event on the calendar where we're concerned? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not all these foolish things that we mark on our calendar. But it's the coming of the Lord Jesus, and you can't mark that on your calendar. Many have tried, but it didn't work, did it?
No.
Oh, no. Hear me tonight. Jesus is coming. This book declares it. The Holy Ghost bears witness of it. God's men declare that it's so. Jesus is coming. These are truly the last time. Now look at the disposition of these false teachers, and I'll be finished. They're walkers after their own ungodly lust. I said last week, they do what they will. They are led and guided by the lust of their own flesh. It's not just immorality, but it is the desire for things. It is a desire for even for glory. That's what most of them are looking for. What's the devil looking for? You know what the devil wants more than anything else in this world? He wants worship. And he wants worship and honor from people. False teachers desire worship. They desire honor from men. They look for the praise of men rather than the praise of God. If you want to know who the false teachers are, watch those who begin to speak of themselves. Watch those who build themselves. Watch those who magnify themselves rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not important who I am. It's important who He is. It's not important that you see me. It's not even important that you hear me. It's important that you hear Him. It's important that you hear truth and the Holy Ghost seals that truth to your conscience and your mind. Truth never changes. Truth never dies. Truth will always be truth throughout eternity. Some shadows of truth may come to an end. The truth is that this old world is going to come to an end. Is that going to happen? Simon Peter said it's going to melt with fervent heat. So the earth as we know it is going to pass away. But then God is going to do what He did in Genesis chapter 1 again. He's going to speak. By the way, we'll get to watch it this time. We've only read about it and heard about it up to now. But we'll get to watch it the next time. He'll speak and the earth will be recreated. And it'll be the habitat of the Jew. That new city, Jerusalem, will be the habitat of the church. And we will commingle. They'll be able to come into the city, and we'll be able to come to the new earth.
Yes, sir.
If you want to do that. I doubt you really want to do that. but this new creation. And can you imagine? Now, I'm finished, so listen carefully. God has spent nearly 2,000 years, actually over 2,000 years now, 2,000 years building our home. You look at the beautiful sights in this world and multiply that times 2,000 years. Huh? Multiply that 2,000 years times 360 days. Our Lord has created something for us to live in that is magnificent. But I'm going to say to you that He'll do no less for His chosen people, Israel. God will create this earth again and make it beautiful for His chosen people, Israel. And they'll live on this earth, recreated earth, and enjoy the light from the city, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. No sun, no moon, the light of the city will lighten the earth. Hallelujah. Did I ever tell you that we are light dwellers? In case I haven't, let me tell you, we are light dwellers. We're not dark dwellers. We are light dwellers. For we will dwell in the ever-present eternal light of the glorious Son of God for eternity. Father, thank You once again for the precious Word of God.